chapter 10 this morning. Daniel chapter 10 never ceases to amaze me that how many times the singers, they don't call me up and say, hey, what are you going to preach on? What's the topic of your message? So Kim started singing. He touched me and I looked at Sherry and I showed my notes. The title of my message is The Touch. Huh? Isn't that amazing? Huh? Does God work these things out or what? And you know, you guys that are here all the time, you know this happened more than once. I mean, it happened more than one time. Even some of what Brian was talking about in Sunday school goes along with my text, and that happens quite a bit as well. I got in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. As soon as I get my glasses, I'll be able to read. These new shirts, man. You get these high-dollar shirts. They don't have a pocket on them anymore. They don't put a pocket. Now I got to stick my glasses down, and you pay more for them, and you got less material. And then my glasses are down in my coat, and I can't get them out. Anyway, something to whine about, I guess. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For the vision is for many days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like unto the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway remaineth no strength in me, there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray for our eyes to be opened to understand your words today. I pray we'll be encouraged by your words. As been said already, Lord, it's a prayer always. Lord, if someone here that's never trusted you for their salvation, Lord, will be their eyes open to that. Lord, they'll pray today and ask you to come into their heart. I pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, we'll be encouraged by your words today. And I put it in your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Title of the message, as I said already, the The touch. It's this chapter's a prophetic chapter. If you know, and you'd never understand it all by that one chapter there, you'd have to read a lot of different chapters and other books of the Bible to get it all put together. But and that's not really what I want to focus on today. But it's looking ahead. It's looking ahead to the last days, which we're living in some of the last days now. But this is looking even farther ahead, even all the way to the end of the millennial reign of Christ, when he comes back to the earth in his glory. And so, but you know, I'm not so much interested in that. I want to use this to talk about some other things. You know, I think this today, I believe I'm safe in saying this, that Christianity has become just kind of a add-on to a lot of people's lives. I believe that Christianity has become, it's more like a church is more like a club. People come, it's Sunday, it's a designated club meeting day. We come to church, we sing the songs, we hear the prayers, we hear the preaching of the word, and then we go back out the door, we live our lives, nothing's changed in our life too much. We might have a little influence from it, but it's not, I don't believe Christianity is at the place that God intended for it in the beginning. You know, that what it would be, a people that have been truly saved and transformed by the power of God with the Holy Spirit of God in their life, influence in their walk, their talk, their lifestyle. I don't see that much today. And I believe that, you know, it's not a brand new problem, of course, but I just see it that way. And so I kind of want to help you or help us in that direction, hopefully in your life right here. We see what I see in that text right there is probably one of the greatest prayer meetings, one of the greatest prayers outside of Jesus Christ that we have in the Bible. We see Daniel now, depending on exactly when he was taken into captivity. We know he was young, but depending on how young he was when he was taken in, he's somewhere between 85 and 95 years old at this point in his life. He'd been following God for a long time. He'd been trusting God for a long time in his life. And I mean, here was a guy that had got thrown into a lion's den because he wouldn't quit praying. He just wouldn't quit praying to his God. I mean, we won't see that kind of dedication by God's people today. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to quit praying. And old Darius had to throw him in to a den of lions. You know, it wasn't a lion's den. I wouldn't mind being in a lion's den as long as there wasn't any lions in it. But the Bible says it was a den of lions, which means the lions are in it. And I mean, they threw him into there. I mean, there's a difference, right? And so, but you know what, he still prayed. Here he is, 85, 90 years old. So he was probably somewhere 70 years later, you know, around that time. He's still praying to God. And I'll tell you what, Daniel saw some things, and we see in our text today, and I'll get to it in a minute, that he saw things that other people couldn't see. And I want to say to you from a spiritual standpoint that when you're that dedicated to God, I mean, when you pray no matter what, when you put God first and when you're seeking God, you're going to see things. You'll see them spiritually that other people will not see. We'll see that come out in the text today. So I want to observe just a few things. I think I got 4 points today, 4 things that we want to look at about Daniel, his prayer, and God's response to that prayer. The very first thing that we see a tear. It said in our text this morning that it says in verse number 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, a mourning, and ate no pleasant bread. That's neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. So he prayed and he fasted, and he said he didn't anoint himself at all for 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Well, I don't know if you've ever done any fasting. Most Christians today don't do it. I've had a burden about it some years back. I got a book about it. I started practicing that some along the way. Real beneficial in weight loss, by the way. And I fasted some length of time, and I'm going to tell you what, there's something to it. I mean, I'm telling you, but I'll tell you this, at the end of 3 weeks of fasting, I'm going to tell you what, you can be physically, there's some physical weakness that comes along with that. But we see a person here, a man of God, that had a burden for the things of God. Now, this is what I see missing today among God's people. See, we see a lot of people with burdens, but not necessarily a burden for the things of God. We see see people that have burdens, they're personal burdens. They got a burden for their health. They got a burden maybe for somebody else's health. They got a burden for their agenda, their plans, their future. They get burdens like that, but not that many people get a burden for what God has a burden for. And that's a whole different thing right there. I mean, when you get, you know, people in those days, and I don't think Daniel said, hey, I'm going to pray and this is a good time to fast. I believe that Daniel had such a burden that God had laid on him. He had the same burden God had that he just wasn't able to eat. He couldn't eat anything. He couldn't, all he could do was pray, and he cried out to God. Now, the Bible doesn't say, you know, well, what was Daniel burdened about? We can only speculate as to what he was burdened about. One of the things that he might have been burdened about, and I'm sure that he was burdened about it because I know that he had the burden that God had. He had the same burden. One of the things was, see, when Cyrus was king, Cyrus was favorable to the Jews, and he told them that they could go back to Jerusalem and start to rebuild the temple. And so a remnant, now not everybody, but a remnant of people, they went back and they started to rebuild the temple. But you know what happens? This happens a lot in Christianity, or things that we try to do for God around the house of God. And we start some things and they begin to fizzle out. And I believe like everything else, they got going. They got going on rebuilding the temple. They started getting some of the walls built up. They started picking up. But then people started worrying about their agenda, their plans, their things, their houses, all that got going on. And guess what? God's business got neglected. And so what? And so Daniel had gotten word about that later on. He got some word back that this is what was going on. And so I believe that he had this burden there. There was some opposition that had taken place. We know that. Opposition's going to come, and we understand that. But I think this spiritual indifference of God's people was a burden for him. But we don't see that kind of a burden with God's people today, the spiritual indifference that we see today. People that, those people, some of them stayed back. Not everybody was interested in going. You know, here it was, Cyrus said, hey, you can go back to Jerusalem, your city. You can go back and rebuild the temple. And you know what a lot of them said? Ah, that's all right. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm not interested in getting the temple back. I'm not interested in worship. This is where they had to worship. I mean, if they were going to do it right, they had to go back to Jerusalem. They had to go back to the temple. They're not interested in that. Do you see a parallel right here? Huh? Do you see how it is today? They weren't interested in getting back to the place that God had ordained. What happened was they got comfortable, content, and they got complacent. And that's what we see in Christianity today. People are comfortable where they at in their spiritual life, wherever they may be, wherever they are in their spiritual life. They might get in church, they might get there, but they'll get to a certain place. They don't want to go any farther. They want to grow anymore. They don't want to be influenced anymore by God. And so they just get, you know, we don't like change. I can just look around. I tell people all the time. I said, Dwayne kind of moved up a little bit this morning. I said, he'd never been that close to the altar before. I was kidding. But most people, see what happened? He got pushed out. Some of y'all got here a little quicker, man, and you couldn't get in. But see, what happens is most people, where y'all sit, you sit in the same place every day. You know why? You don't like change. Right? We just like it to, you know, we just want to be right there. Had some visiting folks come in, Jason come in. I said, well, just sit wherever. If anybody gives you a hard time, rough them up, man. I mean, they might rough them up, man. I had somebody one time told me that they came to our church and said that somebody, I think I told you this a few weeks ago, and somebody told them, you're in my seat. Man, I was hot, man, when I heard about that. I said, what? They said, you were in your seat? And they said, yeah. And I said, where did you sit? And they told me, and I knew who it was. And I named them off, and Sherry said, no. And then the guy said, yeah, that's who it was. I knew, because why did I know? Because I know where everybody sits. Because I'm looking at you every day, right? I mean, we don't like change, so we get complacent. We're satisfied right there. But I don't believe that's the Christianity that God intended for God's people. Man, I think he wanted growth. Man, he wanted us moving forward. Man, he wanted us, to get like Daniel and the burden that he had there. And so he mourned. He wept. He ate no food. We need a burden like that for the things of God. See how God would see it. And, all those other things like eating pleasant bread and meat and wine, that was all done in celebration, but Daniel didn't see anything to celebrate. And so we see he mourned and wept. He prayed and he fasted right there. Listen, The disciple in the New Testament, we get the New Testament. Y'all remember this story right here. There was the disciples, Jesus had been up on the mount with James and John, I believe, and the other disciples were down there. There was a man that had a demon-possessed son. And they had tried to cast out the demon, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus came down, and there was a big hubbub going on, and he said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, your disciples here, this man's demon-possessed, but your disciples couldn't cast him out." So Jesus spoke a word, and this demon was cast out. And then his disciples said, Jesus said, "How come we couldn't do that?" He said, "This kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting." Huh? So you know what that tells me? There's stuff in God's business that cannot get done without fasting and prayer along with it. Huh? There's things that can't get done in the spiritual realm, spiritual warfare, that can't get done without prayer and fasting. How many of us have prayed and fasted for crying out loud? Yeah, well, I fasted since breakfast. I am going to break fast till lunchtime, right? Huh? And some of you won't make it that long. Some might be digging out for a pack of nabs here in a little. I hear a little rapper here going along. Psst. Huh? Yeah. I got a bag of jelly beans right here if you get, huh? I got a bag of jelly beans. I'm going to eat them later on there. But I'm just saying, man, there's things that can't get done. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Jesus mentioned requirements for discipleship, and he said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Both of those things are self-sacrificing things. See, people don't want to give anything up today. We don't want to give. We're not it. We're consumers. Man, I mean, we want to have the whole world. And it's like, we got our arms so full. I think I said this a few weeks ago. Every time I think of this, Danielle, I think about you dropping that jar of honey in the garage floor. In the wintertime when the concrete's real cold. Hard to get up in. You get your hands so full. And you say, oh, Jesus, would you like to have Jesus? Would you like to have eternal life? Would you like to be saved? Yeah, let me see if I can get him. Oh, yeah, got to get him in there one more thing. We're not giving nothing up. Let me tell you what, bearing a cross is a two-handed job. Huh? You're going to have to set the world down. Huh? You're going to have to get the world down and get that cross up and go. We don't want to give that up. Not even, listen to me, sin and ungodliness. We don't want to give that up either. Mm-mm. No, we think we're going to have Jesus in that too. Mm-mm. No, it's not going to happen. We don't see that kind of burden in prayer. So burdened that you can't eat. But I'll tell you one thing, we don't have a lot of testimonies about God speaking to somebody's heart either. Not in the churches today. Huh, where God really spoke to somebody. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. He said that. The second thing is we see there's a tear, there's a touch that goes with the title. The Bible tells us, our text tells us that he was by the Hiddekel, that's the Tigris River, and it's just outside of where Babylon was. And he saw a certain man in a vision there, it said. And when we see the description, his loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can study this out, and the theologians don't agree as to who that is. His description sounds just like Jesus that John saw when we get to Revelation. And some say, well, that it's Jesus right there in that verse, but then others say that it's not Jesus because over in verse 13, because they're assuming that that man is the same, they say, well, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And if it was Jesus, that Jesus wouldn't need help. That's what they say. Now, either other commentators, respected ones, J. Vernon McGee says, well, that's because that's a post-appearance of Christ, that what Daniel saw. Well, you can't have a post-appearance of Christ if he hadn't appeared the first time. It can't be a post-appearance. It's got to be a pre-appearance. But here's the thing. You know, I always tell, this is one lesson I learned. Let me help y'all out. This is on a practical sense thing. As long as I've lived in my life, just my age, and being a pastor for 20-some years, if you don't learn anything else, never assume anything. Amen. I tell people, well, I just thought that that's what, never think that. Huh? It's hard not to do that. Let me show you what I think and other things, and this is what I think right here. I don't believe that the man that Daniel saw in verse 5 up there, and then when we get down to verse 10, And see, because look what happened in verse 9. He says, yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, what happened? Then I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. And then it says, behold, an hand. It didn't say his hand. It says, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. These are words he hadn't spoke yet. He goes, and when he had spoken these words to me, I stood trembling. This was the man that was sent to tell Daniel some other words that he was going to have to understand. I don't believe that's the same guy that stood up here. I think it's two different ones. And that would explain it. It's another angel that was sent. I believe that first appearance was the pre-incarnate Christ or the glorified Christ, however you want to look at it. He was in his glorified state. And I believe this next guy right here was an angel that God had sent down and to give him a message. And he said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Right there, that's just a little side lesson. I don't know if that'll help you with your studying or whatever, but that's the way I see it right there. And so that would clarify some things up. But I'm going to tell you what, it said that a hand touched him. And we have this man that had a burden of God, that he fasted and he prayed and he was weak. And I'm going to tell you what, God heard his prayer. It said from the first day, he said, I heard your prayer. From the first day. And this guy's weak. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get weak and you got a burden for God and you get weak, God's going to send somebody somehow. You're going to get ministered to. And he sent this man and angel probably and down to him and he ministered to him. And he said, I'm going to reveal this plan to you. And look what it said in verse 7. And Daniel, when he saw the first vision, he said, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. These other people fled, but Daniel was left alone. Those other guys were unable to receive the vision or the revelation that God had. And we think about, this is what I want to tell you, this is the nuts and bolts of it. Who is it that God speaks to? We talked about it in Sunday school class. About why did Jesus reveal himself to Mary first in the garden that morning of the resurrection? Because Mary was down there looking. Huh? You say, well, you know what? You can walk around. Well, God never speaks to me. Well, let me ask you this. Have you asked him? Huh? Have you been seeking him? Have you been looking for him? You may have my buddy Chili, let me say, and they said the other men didn't hear it. They fled away. They couldn't hear it. My buddy Chili, I was in the service with. We hadn't seen each other for 44 years. He was just here a few weeks ago. First time I saw him. But I always told y'all a story one time. I had asked God. I was in the Navy, and I was a firefighter, and I was laying on the top bunk of the firehouse. I was on 24 on, 24 off. And one night I laid there, and I remember I wasn't in church. I just believed in God all my life. I knew there was a God. And I just never had a doubt about that, but I wasn't saved. And I laid on that top bunk one night, and I was staring at an old plaster ceiling, and I was looking, and I said, you know, I haven't prayed in years. I thought that. I haven't prayed in years. You know, and back then when I was a kid, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, old prayer. So I started talking to God, just like I'm talking to you. And I said, well, you know, God, and I said, I didn't know anything. I didn't know this. I said, God, I want to see your face. That's what I said. That's what I wanted. I was looking, seeking, asking. About 3 days later, I forgot all about it. That boy that was here, Chili, I went up to his where he lived that night. All day long, we hung out, didn't do anything. Went up there, had dinner, slept in his room. He had a roommate in the other room, so he had these two double bed things, single beds, and he was over there, and I was over here. And, we were starting to talk about back home, back here, in the world, we called it, back to the States. And we started talking about, you know, old girlfriends and this and that. We got around talking about God. And, buddy, while we was talking about God, that room filled up with something. Man, there was something so close to my face. And it was big. And I remember thinking, man, I got to stick my hand up to see if something's there. But I didn't want Chili to think I was a nut. So I looked over there to see if he could see me. I didn't think he could. And I went like this. And then long story shorter, that a little bit later, I thought we had just talked for about an hour. And I went to the bathroom and I saw we lived on Mount Etna. It's the largest active volcano in Europe. It's in the news all the time now because it's always blowing up. We lived on Mount Etna and there was only one road that came down that way. And then we had to go to the base. And I looked out the window and there was a lot of cars going down there. I said, Chili, man, something's happened on the mountain. I wonder if Etna's erupting because I said, there's a whole line of cars coming down. And I said, what time is it? I heard, oh, D Boone, you ain't going to believe it. I said, what? He said, it's 6 o'clock. 6 in the morning, we had talked all night long, man. But when he came to see me, I always wondered all these years. I said, Chili, did anything that night? You remember that night? He said, yeah. I said, did you feel any? No. He said, mm-mm. He hadn't asked God to see his face. I did. I asked. See, who does God speak to? Who does God reveal his truth to? Who does God strengthen? This is what I want you to get. Those that want it. Those that really want it. You can come to church. Listen, you can come to church till you're blue in the face, but if you're not looking for anything, you know what you're going to get? Nothing. You're going to get exactly what you're looking for, right? You're going to get it. So only the man whose perceptions are sharpened by concern and contrition receives fresh revelations from God. That's it. Those men with Paul, remember when the Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road? Man, he was blinded by a light. Everybody fell to the ground. He heard a voice. The other men didn't hear anything. They said the other guys wouldn't. They didn't know a thing. It's a possibility. They felt the presence and the power of God, but they missed the message. You can feel it and miss the message. The fasting and the praying that Daniel went through, coupled with the impact from this vision, the Bible tells us that it left him exhausted, that he fell into a deep sleep, yet he was aware that there was a hand that touched him. It strengthened him. It prepared him to receive the message that God had for him. Who did he touch? A praying man. A dedicated man. A man that had the same burden that God had. He was called him dearly beloved. That's what he called him. And as we talked about even Friday night at the encouragement night, he said, fear not. I'm going to tell you what, man. If an angel touches you sometime when you're deep in prayer, I think the first thing you're going to have to hear is fear not. He was assured that his prayers were heard. It said from day one. That's an important note, verse right there. That when you pray sincerely, you may think that God doesn't hear you. God takes note. God hears you, man. God hears your prayer. And there's no basis. He said, fear not. There's no basis for fear in the heart of a trusting child of God. There's no basis for fear. He assured him that his prayers were heard, that he took note. He said, actually, I sent a messenger the first day, but the prince of Persia withstood him. There's a whole little lesson there, and I'll just give you a brief overview real quick. But apparently, you know, that Satan counterfeits everything that God does. And God has angels and Satan has demons. The same thing. They were fallen angels anyway. He's got demons. And that there's angels assigned. He said, Michael, your prince, when he spoke to Daniel, that there's angels assigned to us that are guardian angels. And Satan's got his angels assigned to us too. Geographic locations and to individual people. I don't have time to go into all that, but that's what's going on. There's a spiritual warfare. And it's going on all around all the time. And he said the prayers were heard and they were withheld. And you think about that, you say, well, wow, why wouldn't God get the message down there? Why would it be such a delay? Why would God allow it to delay? Listen, delayed answers, don't mistake those for denied answers. And when we pray, remember, we have access to the throne of grace immediately. We have access to God. But I want you to learn this right here. Let me ask you this question right here. Daniel prayed. The Bible tells Daniel prayed for 21 days. What's the most important thing? The answer to your prayer or the time you spent in fellowship with God praying? Huh? Listen, this will help your prayer life. I don't know what, there's like two or three things I just want you to get out of everything I'm saying, right? And that's probably all you're going to remember anyway. Remember this right here, this will help you. The answer to the prayer, the communion or fellowship with God and the presence of God as we pray is really more important than the answer to our prayer. And if you learn that lesson right there, this will transform your prayer life like no other thing. That the most important thing is not what you're praying about. The most important thing is that you're praying to God Almighty. You're in the presence of God Almighty. You come to the throne. That's the most important thing. The fellowship. All of a sudden, the prayer time becomes a sweeter thing. Not rushing through it, trying to get to the answer. But the communion with God. If you learn that, that'll help you pray so much. Then we got the third point right here. A trial. We see a conflict in spiritual world. I mentioned just a little bit of it. It's kind of a rare glimpse in verse 13 and 20, actually, of an unseen spiritual world, a warfare in the world. A lot of people don't know anything about it, and there's other people that laugh at it. They think it's just, there's no idea. You know, they laugh at that, at the idea that there's a spiritual battle that's going on in the atmosphere that we can't see somehow. Listen, Satan is highly organized. He's got a highly organized army. He's got, they're called evil spirits, unclean spirits, seducing spirits, demons, devils, whatever. There's all kind of names right there. Listen, they have the power to hurt man physically, mentally, morally. They can paralyze the voice. They can cause blindness. They can impart superhuman strength. They can cause disease. They can torment the mind. The Bible, there's examples in the Bible of everything I'm telling you right here. And Satan and his army are in conflict with God and his army 24 hours a day. It's going on. Huh? And Satan's doing all he can to get you. Huh? He's doing all he can, and God's got God's calling and God's drawing you to himself right there. And therefore, when Daniel prayed for spiritual victory for his people, believe me, Satan was going to do all he could to interfere with that prayer right there. He'd do all he can to interfere with that prayer. And I'm going to tell you what, you want to do something for God, you better get your armor on. You better, as Barney Fife said, you better gird your loins, Buster. You better gird your loins, because I'm going to tell you what, Satan's going to be on it. He's going to be on that. I'm telling you, it's going to be a serious thing. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on. Trust, somebody said, well, you know, one of our ladies in church, she said, boy, I try to read my Bible. Boy, I just can't get my Bible read. But she reads tons of other books. You know why? Because there's a spiritual warfare that goes on when you go after the Bible. You try to pray. What happens to you when you try to pray? Man, you start praying and your mind goes off onto something else. I'll give you a cure for that. Pray out loud, even when you're by yourself. If you pray out loud, it'll keep you on track. If you pray and your mind, you're going to get sidetracked. I start reading my Bible, I can read two or three paragraphs and thinking about something else at the same exact time. I don't do it with any other book, no other book. I'll stay on foot, but I read the Bible, my mind can go somewhere. I've had to back up on the same paragraph three times because I know good and well my eyes just went across the page while my mind was on something else. Had that happen. Devil done. Satan, man, it's a spiritual warfare. So he sent Michael the archangel to assist. And Michael the archangel, he did assist him. He's going to be casting Satan. He cast Satan out of heaven before, and he's going to cast him out again. There's nothing that could separate Daniel from the love of God. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual warfare. That's why we got the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you to put on the armor of God. Huh? You got to be ready, man. It's a battle. And then the last thing we see, there's a testimony in verses 14 through 21, which I already read to you there. And then God sent this messenger with a vision for Daniel and what was going to happen to the future of Israel. You'd have to read the rest of the book or the whole book to get this all. But what he basically told him was, it's going to be more trouble for Israel. The vision went all the way to the end of millennial reign. And then verse 15 tells us this revelation that he received was almost too much for him. He stared at the ground. He was speechless. He was overcome with awe. He was overcome with weakness. And then it said there was another touch from God in verse 16. He touched his lips, the touch of utterance. There was all kind. There's several touches in the book of Daniel. In chapter 8, there was a touch of understanding. In chapter 9, a touch of unction. In chapter 10, we already looked at a touch of undergirding when he was lifted up, a touch of utterance, and then also a touch of undertaking in verse 19 of our text this morning. In verse 19, and he said, "And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." Man, I mean, he's got the strength. He's going to hear what he has to say. And I'll tell you what, if there's anything that we need in a church today, it's strength, it's power. We need a touch from God. We need a touch for God from understanding and see these things right here. Lehman Strauss, he said this, many churches today are marked by a well-organized, heavily staffed, and adequately financed impotency. That's what it's gotten right down to. There was an old saint years ago. I forget who he was talking to, but he was talking to one of the Catholic bishops, and the man was showing him around, and he was showing him all the wealth that they had, and he said no more can we say like Peter, silver and gold have we none, and this old saint replied, neither can you say like Peter, rise up and walk. Peter had the strength. Peter had the strength of God. It wasn't a financial thing. It was the strength of God, and that's what we've gotten to today. Look at us, man. Most churches, the average churches, we got it all going on. Man, we got the building. We got air conditioning. We got heat. We got cushy seats. We got programs, this, that, and the other thing. But I'm going to tell you what kind of an impact do we have on the world? I mean, whose lives are being transformed by our life? I mean, we're struggling with our own transformation, man. We've gotten complacent and satisfied with the way things are in our life, man, because we need, a touch from God. We need the power of God in our life. I can't do it in my own strength. And you've got to learn that lesson. I'm going to tell you what, it took me a long time to learn. I can't do it either. Listen, it's got to be the power of God. But he said, fear not, in verse 19, an encouraging word, fear not, peace be unto you. God told Moses, Hagar, Isaac, Jacob, Joshua, David, Israel as a whole. He told all of them, fear not, man, there's nothing to fear about. Jesus said this, he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So how about that? Fear not. Daniel is now ready. He was going to receive the message, interpret the visions. Listen. The person who is in fear and unrest is not ready to understand the prophetic message or prophetic word of God. The heart that does not enjoy the peace of God will not enjoy nor desire the word of God. What a prayer meeting Daniel had. What a prayer. I wish that he would have prayed just for us the same way, just like this, had a burden like that. He had this communion with God. That, I mean, it's only the person that's seeking God has that communion. You know, why do people not get saved today? Why don't more people just get saved? Because they don't want to. They really don't want to. Huh? You seek God with all your heart. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you this last little thing in closing. What do you want? You know, what do you want? You want a relationship with God? You really want a relationship with God? I'm going to tell you what, it's... You'll have a relationship with God. Huh? You really want to hear and see God's face like I said that day? You really want to see God's face? I didn't see his face that way, but God revealed himself to me to where I knew. I'm going to tell you what, that day, after that day in Sicily, and I walked out of that building, I walked out, I was in trouble. If you've been in the military, you know you can't call in sick, right? And I was walking, and I was looking at Augusta Bay, and the sun was one of them big old tomato-looking suns coming up over that water, and I felt like I was 3 feet off the ground. Man, the love of God was on me like white on rice. Man, I'm telling you, I felt so, I just cannot explain it. And I got down to the road, and I needed to get a ride. I needed to go to my house on the way down the mountain where I lived and get my uniform and get to the firehouse, and you have to be on time. And in Italy, they have armed forces in Italy plates. They're like the plates here, rectangles and fat, and the Italian ones are skinny and long. And we would stand out there, and if you see an AFI plate, you would hold up Nav 1 or Nav 2. I didn't care. I needed to go to 1 or 2. I just needed to get down the mountain, so I'm holding up 2. I see this car coming down the mountain. God worked it out. The guy driving was my old first class petty officer and his wife. They had moved him to the Nav 2 when I was at Nav 1, and they stopped. And they got me, and they took me to my house and waited for me, and I got my uniform on, and they took me to the firehouse as fast as they could, and I got there 1 minute to go. But I'm going to tell you something. God worked that out. And the thing was, I asked God to see his face. That's what I asked. And I have no idea what. When God revealed himself to me, and he put his love in me like none other. I mean, I was just about to explode. Now, I didn't have anybody to mentor me. I wasn't in church. I didn't have anybody. My man, when I got to the firehouse, I told my first-class petty officer that was in charge then. He was a Christian man. He gave me a Bible. I had to go 24 hours. Now, I'd been up all night. Now, I got a 24-hour. He said, God will get you through it. And God got me through it. But it's what do you want, you know? The gist of that is here's a guy that had a burden for the things of God, and he was seeking God in prayer, and God responded to that. See, if a person's lost, if they see they're lost and they need to be saved, and they know it. When I got saved, I didn't know anything. You don't have to know the Bible A to Z. Well, I got to do this. I got to clean up my own act. I always say it's like having a heart attack and wait until it's over before you call 911. You call 911 while you're having it, right? You need to be saved. You say, you know what? I'm not saved. I'm just not saved. And that's what I was. One day I knew there was always, I always believed there was a God. I always knew there was a Jesus. I always knew about the cross. I believed that there was a resurrection. I didn't know nothing like what I know now. But I knew that. But I just never asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and save me. I didn't know how he would do it. But when a pastor came to my house and some other men, well, they came three times, I will put it that way. But when the third time, they talked to me and they asked me this one question. Said, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? I said, no. They said, well, they showed me in the Bible, this, thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. I said, man, I said, that's what I need to do. And I didn't know how God was going to deal with it. I asked Jesus, and it's not by works of righteousness we have done. It's not by sacraments. It's not by baptism. It's not by church membership. Buddy, it's by faith and faith alone. By grace alone, through faith alone, the grace of God, but you got to want it. You got to ask for it. You ask Jesus to come into your heart, I'm going to tell you something, he'll come into your heart. You ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. If you're lost and you say, well, I'm not sure, just do this. Say, God, just like the preacher said today, just I want to see your face, I want to know you're real. You won't see his face, but you'll know he's real. You can't see his face and live, not in the state we're in. But he said, you'll know he's real. If you ask God sincerely, that's what you want. He'll reveal himself to you. So those are the things that you can do today. If you want to be saved today, you say, man, I'm lost. I need to get saved. You just come on down here to the altar room. We have the invitation. Come on up here, Paul. We'll have an invitation. I'll pray with you. I'll get down there. I'm going to turn this microphone off. Nobody hear nothing but me and you. And all you say is, you know, Jesus, man, I'm a sinner and I know it. And I need to be forgiven of my sins. I'm going to tell you what, that's why he died on the cross. He died on the cross so that you could have eternal life, that your sins could be forgiven. Now, he wasn't wasting his time. It wasn't an accident. That's how he planned it. He died that you could have eternal life. And all that come to me, he said, I will turn away. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm going to turn away nothing. I'll lose nothing. I'll save you if you want to be saved. So if that's your need today, you come forward. Maybe you're saved and you just say, you know what, I don't have a burden for the things of God. I need to have a burden like Daniel had for the things of God. I'm worrying about my burdens and not God's burdens. Huh? And I believe that's a reality for all of us, that most of the time we don't have burden for God. We don't have God's burden. We got our burden. Huh? Let's get God's burden, see what difference that'll make in the world. Amen?
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn 153, How Firm a Foundation. Let's stand together.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge of Jesus has fled. And every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty.
Appreciate y'all being attentive today. I know there was a lot in that, and it was, man, you could go all over with that message, and probably I did, but there'd be more that you could do with it. It's a lot to it, but I appreciate you being attentive. We're going to be back tonight at 6:30. I still do night service. I mean, it's not the same message. Obviously, we do something else. Going to have a little, they said finger foods, whatever that is, and having that tonight, but we invite you to come back. Appreciate you being here. Don't forget about